Welcome to Dance, every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. We talk news, stories of the day in sports. Starring Jason, Alex, Nikki, Chris, and Eve.
That was Meant to Be by Baby Rexha. Good afternoon. The time is 12:07. It is May 8th, so I suppose I'd better say g'day, mates. You're listening to Jance on Phoenix Radio, the new news show hosted by Jason, Alex, Nikki, Chris, and Eve, who you've been hearing and will hear more of throughout the coming weeks. Throughout the hour today, you'll be hearing about this week's in sports, the Drop the Ego campaign, Hudson Circus, Ipswich's biggest roadworks, and the thoughts on if we should change Australia Day to today, May 8th, mate. And there has been a bit of a debate about changing Australia Day that is pretty much going from Australia Day being because of its entire issues with Invasion Day to turning into May 8th, because Australians are so used to saying mate and so well known. We had one of our reporters, Chris, head out into the community to ask people how they felt about changing it to today, May 8th, or mate. So let's hear what some of the locals had to say.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty sweet change, if you ask me.
That'd be kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah, that sounds funny. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good idea, but yeah, I prefer it to be on the same day that it.
George Cross. Yeah,
it got signed, the Constitution thingy my boggy, whatever it is. I can't remember now. So yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? That'd be pretty cool. Like, when you think about it, yes, there's controversy over the 26th of January, but do we really get the benefits of a public holiday? Because like, it's just after summer. So, like, if you're a school student or a uni student, like, you're not really getting an extra holiday. It just merges in with your summer. But May 8th, as well as it being May, it's also, like, look, we're in the middle of term two here. You get the benefit of an extra public holiday. So, that'd be pretty cool, actually, May.
I do like it as well. But at the same time, Australia Day, I think, is a place for people to gather and get together and celebrate, you know, their way of being Australian. So I think either way, you're getting a good benefit out of it.
That'd be kind of funny. I don't know. Yeah, that sounds funny. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
New to hear, so
oh, absolutely.
I can't say more about that.
I mean, sure, if it'll help other people out, I guess, like the Indigenous Australians, but I don't really see any point in it.
If enough people agree to it, then maybe.
So, a bit of a wide consensus there. I personally think, you know, it would be great to just have another public holiday, but I do also wish that it would be later in the year, because really, we have all of our public holidays early on, and then we lose the rest of them. Pretty disappointing. Now, with the hope that those technical difficulties are out of the way, we are cutting to our story of the day, which is about the new campaign for National Road Safety Week aimed at motorcycle riders. As I said before, this year has seen 94 fatalities, of which 31 of them have been motorcyclists. That is 46.2% increase compared to the previous five-year average. Motorcycle deaths are 33% of the road fatalities, whereas only 4% of vehicles on the road. Today we're speaking with Blake Alexander from Australian Motorcycle Training in Riverview. Welcome to the show, Blake.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've got you now this time. Yeah. So, real quick, like this morning the RACQ announced the National Road Safety Campaign, Drop the Ego, Not the Bike. What can you tell us about this campaign?
Well, to be quite honest, I was actually speaking to one of your producers there, and I was unaware that there was actually a campaign going on about this. So I've just been reading about it, and obviously there's been a lot of fatalities from motorcycle riders out there, and obviously we need to get more awareness out there about road safety.
Yeah, definitely. And as obviously a company built around training motorcycles, how do you feel that you weren't actually notified of a campaign specifically for probably a lot of the work that you're doing and notifying your new intakes for?
Well, I mean, there might have been some campaigns running. I'm not very big on social media or the news these days. But I actually did spark my memory because my son's actually doing some road safety stuff at his kindy, which is good. So they're bringing their own little bikes to school and practicing road safety. in the car park there, which is good. So a little bit more awareness about what's going on out there would be great. I've even asked my students that I've had here today if they were aware about any road safety going on, campaigns, and they were unaware about it also. So maybe just targeting different avenues of where people get information from would be a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And it's nice to hear that your son's school's also doing some stuff as well. That's really good.
Yeah, a bit of grassroots stuff.
Yeah. Does the campaign itself have the potential to change the way we, like you currently train motorcycle riders?
I don't think the way that we train motorcycles, the way we train riders, but I think having these conversations, especially about these campaigns when students do arrive and throughout the courses, and also having them have the conversations when they leave the courses with other people as well is important. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I understand you're only kind of looking at it this morning, but do you believe what you've read about the campaign gives an accurate portrayal of motorcycle riders?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of ego amongst, new riders coming in. So getting that awareness out there is great.
Yeah, and for the interest of road safety, what is the most important thing that you would express for motorcycle riders, new or old, either that you're training or just ones that are already motorcyclists for years?
Yeah, I think that as riders, we all going to start somewhere. We're not all going to be professionals straight away. We have to train to get to that ability of being able to ride safely. I think also, Facebook groups and organisations that are associated with motorcycle riding have a obligation to, get out there and preach the road safety and about good behaviours on the road.
Yeah, especially in this day and age with how many people are on the roads, like road safety is such a crucial part to everything, and especially for motorcyclists. And from the perspective of a motorcyclist being yourself, what advice could you suggest for all other vehicles to maintain the safety of motorcycle riders on today's roads?
Yeah, so one thing that I do find from a lot of students that do come down after they've become a motorcycle rider and they've learned how to ride a motorcycle is they're a lot more aware about riders when they're in their own vehicle. So, it's important that, we give riders space when we're out there. We're maintaining proper head checks and leaving bigger gaps and things like that. And, there's a stigma about riders that they're all dangerous and we take risks and things like that. I think that's only a small portion of riders that are doing this. Amongst most riders, we're all safe. We all want to get home safe. And, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of summed it all up very, very nicely there. Thank you so much for coming in today, Blake. Sorry if there was any issues on our end that affected you. That's pretty much all that I have, unless you have any further closing comments for us.
Just ride safe. Just the slide, not the ride.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Blake. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
That was Blake Alexander from the Australian Motorcycle Training in Riverview. Now, we're going to go on a little trip to visit Jason at Arterial Road for Ipswich's biggest roadworks. Jason, how are you today?
I'm good, Alex. Well, I'm here on the corner of a Springfield Parkway and Greenbank Arterial Road, which was just newly fixed up and developed, and it's looking pretty good down here. I'm here with Paul Tully, one of our local councillors, to talk about some of the stuffs with the roadworks and all that. So, hey, Paul, how are you going?
Pretty good. A little bit cloudy today, but looking good as we get into winter.
Right. What was completed as part of stage one of the project?
Well, the first stage to be completed was this intersection here, the Springfield Parkway and the Springfield to Greenbank Arterial. This was a very poor intersection. It's been turned into a signalised T-intersection. It's actually working very, very well, and the traffic coming from the original Springfield and the Chimera area can get through now without any real delays, and they can get into Springfield Central. It's been a big job. All of these entire projects, from here right through to Sinathamby Boulevard and the exit 33 off the motorway to get into Orion Springfield Central, it cost at this stage about $103 million. This is the largest road project ever undertaken in the city of Ipswich.
All right, so what is still to come? There's stage two, stage three. What are we looking forward to in those stages?
Well, the current stages are being finalised near the Lions Stadium. People will be familiar with that. We know the delays, but one of the challenges is to keep traffic flowing while the roads are being upgraded. People like to use their usual routes. It takes longer and it's more expensive to keep the traffic flowing, particularly near the Springfield Central Railway car park. The challenge coming off the Centenary Motorway, of course, to keep the traffic flowing for most of the time has been enormous. What we're doing is completing the rest of the roadworks. They're estimating now before Christmas. Bit by bit, some parts are being opened up, particularly near the Brisbane Lions Stadium. And the next to come after this is past the Himba Yumba School, heading up the hill towards Springfield and the primary TSAC School. So a lot more to come, and I guess we can only apologise to people who are held up, but when it's finished, it'll be a good road network.
Speaking of it being finished, when do you expect it to be finished by? Is there like a date that you have?
The latest date that I've been given is December. There'd be some tidying up works before that and after that as well, but the substantial amount of work will be completed then. People don't realise the enormous costs with the underground drainage, the relocation of services when roads are being upgraded, and of course the widening of roads and the work that needs to be done under the ground. People just see the work above the ground, but to have the right stability and the conditions for this new road network are really enormous. So there will be some sections that will be opened up in the next few months, and everything should be 100% finalised for Christmas.
All right. So how do you think this will help locals when it's finally done?
Well, the connections will give people from Springfield and Cammeria area very easy access towards the Springfield Secondary College, the Anglican College, and also to Springfield Lakes, what is going there, and also to Orion Springfield Central. It'll be good for commuters who want to get to the Springfield Central Railway Station. Coming from the other direction, it gives a lot of movement of traffic. You know, people have seen what's happened here where we are at the moment at the Springfield Parkway and Springfield Greenbank Arterial. That has worked very, very well, and I expect the rest of the work, once it's completed, will be a great boon for people, particularly during peak hours.
All right, thank you, Paul. Being a Springfield local myself, this is very exciting to see, and it's going to be very good when it's all done. That's all from me. Back to you, Alex.
Thank you for that, Jason. That all sounds very exciting. It was good to learn about such a mega project happening kind of right outside of our doorstep here at Springfield. I look forward to seeing the results and what comes from Ipswich's largest ever road upgrade. Now, who doesn't love a good circus? It just gives you that bit of nostalgia, and the Hudson Circus is happening between the 10th and 26th of May at the Ipswich Turf Club grounds, so get some tickets and have some fun. Joining us to talk about the circus is the owner, Nancy Lennon, owner of the Hudson Ipswich Circus Show. Good afternoon, Nancy. How are you?
Hi, Alex. Thank you for having me. I'm very well today.
That's good. Now, I would love to know first, what is your favourite thing about owning the circus?
Oh, my favourite thing would be just the environment. You know, you're surrounded by people from different ethnicities, so you've got different languages, you've got different foods, you've got all of that, you've got the animals, which are lots of fun to be around, and then it's just the people who come to see the show. You know, we feel like we touch their lives in a really special way. We get comments all the time about how much they love the show, and you know, if they've had a hard time in their life, that for those 2 hours they just completely forget about it.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, circus is a really good way to get more of like the casual masses in. Like, not everyone goes to the city to go watch shows, but a circus is a more local thing, and that's always great to see.
Yes, definitely. That's the beauty about the circus, is we bring the entertainment to the people.
Yeah, definitely. The entertainment that you're saying, is it hard to find acts for the circus?
At times it can be hard. We like I said before, we've got people coming from overseas. We do get a lot of our performers from, you know, South America or from Europe. sort of thing. So, yeah, there is a very wide community of circus artists in the world.
Yeah, all doing different acts, of course, different yeah. ways of doing the same act as well to add variety.
Definitely. You know, you've got from a very traditional clown to a much more modern style clown. You know, you've got wire walkers, which is a very traditional act as well. And you've got the Globe of Death motorcycle riders, which is very modern and adrenaline pumping.
Yeah. That I know I've only seen ads for your circus, but it's very varied. And how long have you actually been running the Hudson Circus for?
So Hudson Circus has been running, we're now into our 11th year. And we've toured almost the entire country.
That's pretty impressive. And so has that been that you do that with each new act, or is that just the total time that you've done the whole country?
The total time we've done the whole country. So
the only
state and territory we haven't been to is the Northern Territory. Haven't had the opportunity yet.
Okay, not yet. Hard word there, yet. is it hard, you know, over such a long period of time to find something that makes the circus feel different from the others or from previous years, like from when you started?
Oh, absolutely. We're always trying to innovate and bring the latest and greatest to act. So people don't see the same show year after year.
Yeah, well, that's good. We're probably going to have to leave it there. I hope that everyone gets a chance to go watch the Hudson Circus at some stage. That's it for that. That was Nancy Lennon. Thank you as well, Nancy, for that little grab there. It's great to just hear a local creative arts thing that is so accessible to everyone here in Ipswich.
Yes. Well, again, thank you for having me. And if you come down to Hudson Circus, I can guarantee you won't be disappointed.
So great. So you heard it here first, everyone. Grab some tickets and watch those tricks. Thank you so much, Nancy.
The clearance for Brisbane McCarthy trying to get busy. Here's Charlie again. Cue that song back up.
Ben Hunt wins the Origin for Queensland.
Risky Heaney.
Before we leave off, it's time to catch up on all things sport. To fill you in on this week's sporting news, we got Ben Davis. Ben, how are you and what's been happening this week in sport?
Plenty happening in this week in the sport, and at the moment it all centres around David Fifita and the Titans. Well, we've got just over 36 hours until he has to make a call on whether he is going to stick around next year and exercise that option that he's got in his contract on the Gold Coast. We know over the weekend that he toured the facilities at Penrith. The Roosters have put in a play for him as well. Now, Queensland Origin forward, he's played with the Broncos, he's played for Australia, he's the Dally M back rower of the year. On the best part of the reported $1 million a year on the Gold Coast. So he would be taking a pay cut to head down south. But what Penrith do offer is a real chance at a premiership. The system they've got there, the players they've got, yeah, there, and he would be able to fit in, and the belief is to sharpen up his style of footy. So that's the attraction for him rather than the money. It's about premierships. And round 10, which kicks off tomorrow night, is when he's got to make a decision on, or at least that's what he's got that option in his contract, saying that he has an option that he can take up, and that's got to be decided on by round 10. So all waiting and watching to see what David Fifita may do. Let me see what else is. Oh, the other thing that's been cooking is the Brisbane Lions. They have been on fire after their match Sunday night Q Clash, where it'll go down in Queensland sporting folklore. The amount of injuries they had, the adversity they had to come over or overcome against the Suns. Their season was on the line. They were losing players left, right and centre. By the start of the second quarter, they were down to a two-man bench and had to guts it out and fight their way through the Gold Coast Suns with half their bench missing. So what now for the Lions? That's the big thing. Can they overcome the season-ending injuries to Darcy Gardner and to
Link McCarthy. They've also been without Brandon Stasevich for at least a month with a hamstring strain. So can the Lions back that up? Not only this week against Adelaide in Adelaide, who are coming off a big win themselves in the showdown, but can they keep that momentum going throughout the year? This is going to be a true test for them. They're going to be digging deep on that courage and that grit, which is something we haven't seen from the Lions. And it's not to say they don't have it, it's just that they haven't needed to dig into those places yet. So that's going to be the big question mark on Brisbane going forward. Have they turned a corner with their season, and how do they overcome those injuries to some pretty key personnel? I guess the other thing that's caught our interest is overnight, Jake Fraser-McGurk, who's the young batsman from Melbourne. He's plying his trade in the IPL, and he is plying it with some massive pressure. We know that he was overlooked for the Australian T20 World Cup squad. They've been training here in Brisbane over the last couple of days, those who aren't playing in the IPL. And overnight, just another reminder to selectors of what they have overlooked, a 19-ball 50 in the IPL. Absolutely tearing them apart, Jake Fraser-McGurk. It's not to say that he's not going to be at the World Cup. I mean, he's not in the squad at the moment, but there is still some wiggle room to either take a reserve or even replace someone in the squad at this stage. So Jake Fraser-McGurk, he's a young kid who's showing the world that now is his time. Whether or not Australia use him for the World Cup yet to be seen, but at this stage hasn't been selected. They were looking for stability in a team that's been together a lot longer than the, I guess what they're calling recency bias, as in those who are doing things right now, well, have they done it over a sustained period of time and shown that that it's not just a one-off. So Jake Fraser-McGurk, it's a lot of debate in sporting circles whether he should be playing for Australia or not at the World Cup. A kid with this much talent, he won't be on the sidelines for long.
Good to know. Thank you so much for getting us all up to date in all things sport. That was Ben Davis, head of sport from Channel 7. This has been Jance. Make sure you tune in next week from 12 to 1 for more topical stories. Jason will be your host next week. For now, we'll sign off with Sunflower by Post Malone and Swan Lee. You're listening to Phoenix Radio.